wake up, wake up, rethink the status quo. When you get your money right, then you're the one who runs your life. Come build a wealthy spirit with Sammy and Michelle.
In October 2019, I moved back in with my parents. And that's when Michelle, my sister, started calling me Samooch.
Good times.
Samooch. She made a lot of mooch references. And why was she doing this? Because she's ignorant.
Okay.
She was ignorant of my plan and my understanding of my finances. If she truly understood FIRE and the FIRE numbers, it would make complete sense why I'm moving in with my parents.
Maybe I wasn't ignorant. Maybe I was bitter that you told me I had to work harder for us to move to Austin, cut our lease, and then when I moved, you decided to move in with our parents instead.
Maybe you have personal issues that I don't know about. But the point is, knowing your financial independence, retire early number, knowing other numbers like your Coast FI number, your Lean FI number, your Fat FI number, these numbers actually give you a gauge of where you're at on your financial independence journey. And that can help you decide to make some unconventional choices in order to help either accelerate your journey or take advantage of the fruits of your labor. And that's what Michelle and I want to talk about today.
Let's get into it. But first, I want to talk a little bit about our partner, Riverside. Sammy and I have been using Riverside for almost all of our episodes over the last 3 years. Riverside is a platform where we can record audio and video for every single episode, and we can then download the tracks, edit them, and create this beautiful podcast for you. Now, what we've learned over the past few months is that tons of people are getting into audio platforms, video platforms, and the thing that I always recommend starting with is Riverside. Why? Riverside makes it easy for you to edit. You get a local recording. That means that if we lose each other, if the internet goes crazy, we still have the recording from us, from our guest, who might be in California or in Scotland. The coolest thing is Riverside also has a bunch of new tools that they've launched in the past year, including AI transcription, transcription editing. You can make clips for your social media. A lot of cool things that make it so that if you want to just have a one-stop shop for launching a podcast or video, Riverside is the place to do it. If you want to get started, use the link in our show notes. And if you start an episode or you start a podcast, send it to us. We'd love to hear it.
Now back to today's topic, the different types of FIRE or the different types of financial independence retire early.
And as a reminder,
this is not financial advice.
This is not financial advice. This is an entertainment podcast. Sammy and I are just sharing our experience in a fun and entertaining way. We highly encourage you to talk to different professionals, do your own research. We love the ideas behind financial independence retire early, but because this is information about personal financings, we want to remind you this is not financial advice.
Great reminder, Michelle. Today we are talking about the different FIRE numbers, the different financial independence retire early numbers.
The reason this is important, Sammy, is because we're big believers of FIRE here at Build a Wealthy Spirit, because at different levels, it can unlock different levels of freedom. And we truly believe that if you have the knowledge, you can make small tweaks in your life that can build you financial security and buy you freedom to do whatever it is that you value.
Exactly, Michelle. So before we talk about early retirement, maybe we should talk about traditional retirement.
Yes.
Is traditional retirement?
Let me tell you what traditional retirement looks like here in the United States. I remember when I got my first job. You set up a 401k, you start contributing to it. They say, oh, maybe do 5%, 6%, maybe hit the match. They're not encouraging you to max it out. They're not necessarily encouraging you to do more than that. But the goal is that if you set up money and you invest it, maybe you have a pension, maybe you'll get Social Security when you turn 65, they're like, perfect. You turn 65, you can retire from the corporate workplace and you can go on a beach and live your best life or whatever it is that people do when they're 65 and want to retire. That's the American retirement dream in some ways.
Traditional retirement in a lot of ways is investing a small amount of money for many years and kind of hoping that you have enough money to retire.
Hope is not a strategy. Many people get to the age of 65 and unfortunately don't even have the money to retire. So it's one, not necessarily a clear plan, and two, not necessarily a great plan.
Or maybe they've been investing a lot more than they realized and they could have retired 10, 15 years earlier. That's why it's important to have a framework. And that's what I love about the FIRE community. They're all about helping people understand their numbers so they have freedom when making decisions in their life.
It's such a great alternative framework where you can decide at exactly which point you might want to retire. Or FIRE is now referred to as FI, financial independence, because if you are able to leave the workforce earlier, some people don't want to retire. Maybe they just want to pivot their career, take a year to do an RV trip with their family. Financial independence doesn't have to be about retiring early, but it is about building a strong financial foundation.
So let's start with your FI number, your FIRE number. This number comes from the Trinity Study. We'll link to that in the show notes. The Trinity Study pretty much looks at people over various years in the past and found out an estimate of how much money they would need to safely retire in multiple scenarios. And what they found is that if you have 25 times your annual spending, then you will have enough money for the rest of your life, assuming that you withdraw on 4% of that every year. As an example, let's say you spend $60,000 a year. Then if you times 60,000 times 25, then you need $1.5 million, assuming that you're taking out 4% or $60,000 each year. And in most scenarios, you are going to have enough money to last for the rest of your life.
Something I like about the FIRE movement, Sammy, is when it comes to quote unquote investing your money, they're not asking you to do something crazy. It's a little bit of index funds, a little bit of bonds. They're not making you get lucky with Bitcoin. You don't have to track Nancy Pelosi's stocks. Okay, this is nothing crazy. It's actually something that most people can understand, which is why we think it's something worth looking into because it's actually easier than you think and a lot more stable than, say, hoping Wall Street Bets on Reddit gives you the lottery numbers that you need to hit jackpot.
Exactly, Michelle. So that first number that we talked about, 25 times your annual spending, that's your FI number. That's the amount of money you would need to retire. There are other numbers that we're going to talk about today that help you understand where you are at today on your journey to financial independence.
It's really cool. As FI and FIRE and the community has grown, people have come up with different variations that fit their needs. Because you can tweak a couple of these numbers and say, hey, if I change how much I'm spending every year, or if I'm okay with continuing to work, some of these numbers can change. So that's why we're going to go through CoastFi, LeanFi, and FatFire today, because we think those are different milestones you can reach that can start unlocking freedom at different FI numbers.
The first number we're going to talk about is one of my favorite numbers, and that is your CoastFi number. So your CoastFi number is the amount of money that you need today to retire at your traditional retirement age, typically 65, assuming you don't contribute any more money to that account. The How To Money blog describes this in a really great way in their piece called What is FIRE, the Different Types, and How to Achieve It. They have this great example of a 35-year-old who has a nest egg of $250,000. Let's say that person does not contribute another dime to that $250,000, but at the same time, they don't withdraw any of that money. By the time their traditional retirement age of 65, they will have almost $2 million.
I want to be clear here, Sammy. That $250,000 is not $250,000 underneath your mattress. It's assuming you're doing these investment allocations in your portfolio that is lined up with the FIRE movement. So you're expecting it to grow around 8% a year. That means that when you hit 65 years old, it will have gone to this $2 million and you can start withdrawing it comfortably.
You bring up a great point, Michelle. These calculations are all based off of the Trinity Study, which we will link to. And that assumes a mixed allocation of stocks and bonds. You can look into the details exactly, but this is not assuming that this is all cash, because if you have $250,000 in all cash, it's not going to be $2 million in 30 years.
Unfortunately, no. So Sammy and I love CoastFi because for both of us on our journey to financial independence, CoastFi is the point where I feel like, at least for myself, I could finally breathe a sigh of release. It's that moment where I was like, okay, if I can cover my bills, at least 65-year-old Michelle is most likely taken care of. That makes me feel good. I'm a little bit risk averse. I don't know if at this age, in my 30s, I want to be at $0. Maybe that'll happen at some point and I have confidence in myself to rebuild if I have to. But the truth is, it's nice to know I have some money invested that, if all goes well, will continue to grow over time. I just don't have to worry about it. And I can go and I can get a job that can at least cover my expenses so that I can live a life that I enjoy, but I don't have to try to make as much money as possible.
Exactly, Michelle. And I think the interesting thing about the Coast FI number is you reach that number way sooner than you think, or at least that's what I found in my case. You reach the Coast FI number way before you reach financial independence, or Lean FI, which we're going to be talking about later. And when it was me trying to calculate my Coast FI number, I took in my FI number that I knew based off my annual spending, and I played around with a compound interest calculator until I got an idea of what my Coast FI number would be. But there is actually a calculator out there that will give you your Coast FI number based off of your current age, your expected retirement, and your personal FI number. So we'll link to that in the show notes as well so you guys can see what your Coast FI number is, and maybe you'll find out you are already Coast FI. The beauty of Coast FI is once you know that number, you know that all you have to do is cover your bills. As a PA, we usually make around six figures. And the truth is, I spend way less than that. So now, having reached Coast FI, I know that I don't necessarily have to have a six-figure job to pay my bills, and I'm still going to reach financial independence at age 65. This gives me a lot of freedom in what I can do. Maybe I want to work part-time, less hours. Maybe I will take a different type of job. David, one of our Camp FI friends, put it in the best way possible that I absolutely love, which is once you hit Coast FI, there is no reason that you should be doing work that you don't want to do. I thought that was like such an excellent way of putting it, because at least from a financial perspective, once you hit Coast FI, there is no reason you should be doing work that you don't want to do.
You know, Sammy, we talk a lot about FU money in the financial independence community. Money that, let's say you're in a job and they're going to make you do something and you're like, F you, I'm leaving. I feel like Coast FI is when you really start to hit that number. Maybe a little bit earlier if you got like a generous emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's exactly what David is saying, exactly what we're talking about here, where sometimes the freedom is just being able to leave a job that's toxic, leaving a job that you don't enjoy, or pivoting, doing something a little bit different when the time is right. That's what these things unlock. And our goal is to help people get there.
The next two numbers we are going to talk about is your Lean FI number and your Fat FI number.
You might be thinking, I'm looking Lean FI. No, not the same thing. Looking like a piece of cattle.
We're not talking about cuts or gains here. We are talking about your annual spending. So you might have been thinking when we were talking about annual spending, well, I don't spend the same amount every year, or some years I can spend very, very little and that lifestyle would look like this, or I could spend a ton and that lifestyle would look differently. And that's where Lean FI and Fat FI come into play.
Let me tell you, Sammy, I have faced this when I was living at home after COVID. I moved to a small town with you in the middle of nowhere. I was like, dang, if this was my annual spending in an era where I was not traveling much, I did not even have a store to go to shop, my spending was low, low, low. And that looks completely different this year. I'm living in Charleston. My expenses are going up. It's like, which annual spending is the right one?
Nobody can really decide other than you. But you probably have an idea of your lower estimate and your super high estimate. And that's where Lean FI and Fat FI come into play. Lean FI is the lower end of this spectrum. What is maybe the lower side that you would spend annually realistically, and timesing that number by 25 to get your Lean FI number. Your annual spending times 25 gets you your Lean FI number. Let's say you were like, maybe that's 20,000. Maybe it's super low. And you times that by 25, that would make your Lean FI number 500,000.
And Sammy, a clarification here. The difference between LeanFi and CoastFi is CoastFi assumes you're still working to cover your expenses. LeanFi is saying, I'm fire, and you know what? I'm lean with my spending. I'm frugal. I'm living my life in a way that I have cut the things that I really don't need so that I can stop working in theory and I can be financially independent.
LeanFi is a form of financial independence where you are retired, but you just don't spend a lot of money.
Exactly, Sammy.
For me, and this is a debate between me and Michelle a bit.
Oh, we were having a nice argument before this. You know, we had to record our podcast and then we had to get into a fight about LeanFi. It's like classic us.
Classic us. And you know, a girl, woman, who had not really looked at her own numbers, what would be considered LeanFi for her, what would be considered FatFi for her, what would be considered CoastFi for her, or even seeing what her investments today would look like at age 65. This woman, Michelle, thought she could make a lot of comments on my interpretation of LeanFi.
Okay, you know, I don't need to be personally attacked, okay? I know my FI numbers. I just had a little bit of a debate on what our ideas was. So maybe you could share your thoughts on LeanFi, and I can tell people, and they can let us know which one is right.
For me personally, I think you can consider LeanFi a situation in which you are spending the lowest amount that you would typically spend, but also realistic, as in maybe this is something you've done before. So for me, I consider this like if I moved into my parents' house and did not pay for rent, but was covering my other expenses like I have done for many years in the past when I was on my FI journey, that's my LeanFi number. That does not mean that when I hit LeanFi, I'm going to stop working, because that's not necessarily how I want to live. But I have an idea of when I hit that number, I know that if I wanted to, I could stop working forever, and that's the lifestyle I could live.
I feel like there should be a backup FI in between CoastFi and LeanFi. Because, okay, I know you do enjoy living with our parents, even though you have to crash call them at Costco to make sure that they're not spending too much money on their groceries. So maybe they don't even want you there. I don't know. I've heard rumors. I am just kidding. Like, our parents would love us to move in with them at any point in time. So I do think that's a realistic option. But I think an important thing to me about LeanFi is that, yes, you're being frugal, but you're still being frugal in a way that's creating a life that you're happy with. Because here's the thing, is you can be frugal and start cutting things, and all of a sudden you're cutting things that you value. You're living in a world of scarcity. And our whole goal with financial independence, our whole goal with building a financial foundation, is that you do have a secure base, but you also still have the money to spend on the things that you value. You hear sometimes these horror stories of people who are doing financial independence and they're cutting, but then they realize that, oh my gosh, I'm not happy. Maybe it's not bad to get to that point and then scale up, but when I think about something like LeanFi and I think about my past few years, yes, I was happy to do it then. Am I going to go move back to the middle of nowhere tomorrow to cut my expenses? If I don't have to, I don't want to. That's not LeanFi to me.
And that brings us to FatFi. FatFi is what you would consider a pretty lavish lifestyle for you. Everybody's going to have a different FatFi number. For me, I base my FI number off an annual spending of $60,000. And if I'm being honest, $60,000 for me is even on the fat side. But if we're talking $80,000, yeah, definitely I consider that FatFi. If we're talking $100,000, for sure FatFi. But some people might be like, I can barely pay for that. Or maybe they have a family, so $100,000 is not FatFi. $100,000 could be LeanFi for them. Everybody's going to have a different definition of what FatFi is for them. FatFi is the higher side of your annual spending that you would consider financially independent.
I have two thoughts.
Please share.
I think FatFi often is paired with the one more year syndrome, as in, oh, I'll work one more year. FatFi, in its definition, is I have more than enough money. I can spend without worry. And I am still financially independent. At the same time, I think this whole spectrum of FI is actually really based off of your own risk aversion. Some people can have $0 in the bank and say, you know what, I'm still going to go make it work, figure out how to live the life I want to live, whether that's traveling, starting a business, whatever it may be. And they won't even worry about it. And maybe they don't have other people they have to worry about. At the same time, I think the reason the whole FI movement exists is because realistically, for a lot of people, if we're not meeting our Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we're not going to feel that comfortable. And GadFi is on the end of, you know, I'd like a little bit more money. I don't think it's a bad thing to strive for, but I think the advantages of LeanFi and CoastFi is that, like, at those points, you can actually start thinking, maybe I don't want to stop working or stop investing money, but maybe now is the time that I can start taking risks. Now is the time that I can actually do that job that I'm worried won't make money right away, but I at least know I have the right vehicles in place that future Michelle, retired Michelle, will be okay.
These frameworks, your FI number, your CoastFi number, your LeanFi number, your FatFi number, these are all to help you get a gauge of where you're at compared to your typical annual spending numbers, or the high side and the low side of your annual spending. They kind of tell you, based off of what you have invested today, where you are on that spectrum. And that's what I find so helpful about this, because most people are walking around possibly investing money, but having no idea what that number means, what their net worth means. Like, what does that mean related to how much they spend and how much they would need to live off for the rest of their life? These numbers make it so that we are people who know what that number means. And knowing what that number means that maybe we're willing to live with our parents or move to the middle of nowhere for a few years. And maybe that also means that when we see how much we have accumulated, we're willing to take a sabbatical and take a break from work. The numbers give you a lot of insight into where you are financially that's not just based off of emotions.
Takeaways.
Takeaways for this episode. Knowing our numbers gives us a framework of both where we're at and how much we need to feel financially comfortable in retirement, and also will help inform the decisions we need to make today. To a point where we might be more willing to make unconventional choices, we may be more willing to not keep up with the Joneses so that we are able to be financially independent earlier.
An exercise that I recommend for everybody is taking a look at your annual spending. If you don't know it, I recommend tracking your spending for a month and seeing how much you spend monthly and multiplying that to kind of get a gauge of how much you spend annually.
And don't do what I've been doing these past couple months, which is, oh, this was an abnormal month. Oh, I spent a little bit more, but this is abnormal. No, just look at what you spent last month.
Be honest with yourself.
There's no harm in being honest. You don't have to lie to yourself.
Don't lie to yourself. That's definitely not what this is about. Take a look at what you're spending annually and make a little line graph. Where are you today? What is considered your typical financial independence number? Your average spending times 25. What would be your lean, the lower side of that? What would be your FatFi number? And what's your CoastFi number? We'll post links to calculators to help you get an idea of those numbers. But I feel like knowing where you are at on that line graph really helps you make good decisions about your life and helps you live intentionally. And that's what this is all about, living intentionally. The numbers are just information so that you know how to live today.
Community time!
First off, I want to say thank you all for your support, for sharing my course. It was so awesome to see so many people share it with friends, share it with people that they thought would be able to benefit from it. Thank you so much for sharing it. The sign up is now closed, and I appreciate all of your generosity.
Shout out to our listener, Paul, who listened to our episode on decision fatigue. He said that it also bugs him when people say everything in moderation. He also loved the sugarholism that Michelle and I talked about, a big problem for us, and cheap limbo. How low can you go? Paul also said he loved our use of the word slob kebab.
People are enjoying slob kebab. Oz Chen told me he likes slob kebab.
We cannot take credit for that. In fact, We have to give this to our sisters, the Kardashians. People say we're the Kardashians of the financial independence movement.
We say we're the Kardashians of the financial independent movement.
Nobody else has said it. Nobody else has said it, but can we start it? Like,
we should totally start it.
Yes, because that's what the FIRE movement was really missing. And that's why slob kebab has come into the lexicon. Thank you, Kourtney Kardashian. She's the one I always hear using the word slob kebab. And I absolutely love it. I don't know why. It's just the best.
Because it's like a kebab of slob.
Just like, not just a slob, but like a whole kebab of slobs. It's like slob kebab. Need we say more?
Oh, let us know your thoughts on this episode. Is there a type of financial independence that you subscribe most to? Coast, lean, fat, or a different one? Are you a barista-fi person? Let us know. And when we talk about financial independence, if there's any questions that come up, drop those in our comments as well. We want to hear where you are at in your journey, because we can delve deeper into any of these portions if that's something that you're interested in. Buildawealthyspirit.com. You can subscribe to our newsletter. And on that page, you can leave us comments directly so that we can hear from you.
And most importantly, be sure to join us next week as we put down the rule book and we rethink the status quo.